This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Matt Verderam's going to join us at 5:30. He'll inject some moisture into the show. What?
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
I don't know about you, but I am fully ready to come up with all of the intricate ways that the Chiefs are going to destroy the Patriots. That feels right, right? Too much, maybe? That's fine. You don't have to be as confident as I am. But it's now time for us to hear from Matt Verderam of FanSided. You can read all of his work at FanSided. Of course, listen to the Stack in the Box podcast. We had him on Sports Night last night. It was a great conversation, so we're bringing it back today. Also, because sometimes plans don't work, and you got a nice little fallback. Hey, we had a really good interview last night. I'm going to bring that back today. Of course I do. I'm not going to name names. All the funny names I wanted to go to are names that even I don't think the jokes would have been that funny. I'm not going to name names. Beards. It's not Beards' fault, but he is the only safe name that I could have thrown in there, I felt like. Anyway, we talked to Matt last night on Sports Night over on Sports Radio 810 about all sorts of things going on with the Chiefs throughout winning that game against the Colts to what happens against the Patriots. There's a ton of great insight here from Matt. We'll talk more about it afterwards. Without further ado, I started off by asking Matt about the big picture. Matt, what is your general emotional state at the moment? The Chiefs slayed a demon, and now another one's coming to Arrowhead.
Well, it's what, 48 hours since they beat Indianapolis, and now my emotional state is stable. it wasn't so much that afternoon, I can't lie. I don't think I could cover the league for 50 years, and I don't know. I don't think there's going to be too many times that I'm more caught up in the game. But, look, I think if you're a Chiefs fan, how could you not feel great? They played really well. They beat a good team. They played great defensively, which I think might have put a lot of people into a state of shock.
Yeah.
And, look, I get the argument. I would have rather played the Chargers for a multitude of reasons, but if you want to be the best, there's something to be said for beating the best. And certainly New England has been that for the last 20 years, and the Chiefs are going to have their shot to slay the dragon in their own building.
And I was saying going into that Patriots-Chargers game, I was actually excited about New England coming to Arrowhead. Not because of just beating the best, but because the Patriots on the road this year have seemed like a different team. Is there a logic to that that you can see, or is it randomness, or is it something that we can't put our finger on? What do you make of the fact that the Patriots are literally a losing team on the road this year?
You know, I've thought about that over the last couple of days, and I think if you want to try to analyze it, look, they have not had a hard road schedule. In fact, their schedule has been harder at home than it has been on the road. They have played a bunch of tomato cans on the road, say, for Chicago and Pittsburgh, and they beat Chicago.
Yep.
I think, if anything, it maybe becomes mental at some point. Like, you know, if you look at their early season slate, they lost to Jacksonville, they lost to Detroit on week 2 and 3, respectively. And so maybe, you know, it kind of creeps into your head a little bit. Like, we're not playing well on the road, then you start hearing about it all the time. So it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. They got waxed in Tennessee. They obviously should have beat Miami and then gave that game away on the last play. But, look, it's odd. You know, there's been the one stat that's been going around that New England is second in DVOA defensively at home and 31st on the road. I mean, yeah, sure, crowd noise plays a factor, but it doesn't have much of a factor.
Right.
So it's odd. It's a weird thing. They're not a team that typically struggles on the road. So it is strange. But this is also, it's not, I don't want to say uncharted territory, but unique territory for them. I think this is their seventh road game in Brady's entire career in the playoffs.
It's crazy.
They do not, or I believe it's their eighth. They're 3-4 on the road with Brady and Belichick.
And I think of AFC championship games, I think 2004, we went through this on the post-game show. I think 2004 was Brady's only AFC road game that he won, and the other ones that were lost. There's something like that. It's crazy. And so, like, there's something to be said for being at home. Like, I understand advantages that come with that, but especially, I hadn't heard that DVOA stat defensively. That's insane, especially because you think of Bill Belichick as being, like, this unstoppable, like, defensive genius. But that, it doesn't feel like that's translating to road games. I don't understand that. I feel like I'm learning football for the first time again on that front.
I think it's just one of those things. It's just an abnormality. It's just weird. I don't know that there's a great explanation for it. I wish there was. I wish I had one. Mm-hmm. They just haven't played well. They've not played well away from their own building. And by the way, you mentioned with the AFC title games, Brady and the Pats, they won the one in 01. They beat Pittsburgh, although
right.
Brady played less than half the game. And then they did win in 04 against
yep.
Pittsburgh. But they have played three on the road since. Two on the road since. They were both in Denver. And they lost those games. They also lost in 06 to the Colts. They lost all three to Manning.
Mm.
So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out. Like, they are a good team. I don't think the Pats are a great team this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have things that they're great at. They also have gigantic weaknesses. The Chiefs are the better team.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are not only favored because they're at home. They're favored, I think, in some part because they've been more impressive this season.
Yeah.
But look, make no mistake. To knock that team out, it's going to take a great effort. I would be shocked if New England doesn't play well in this game. The Chiefs are going to have to bring it.
And if you were going to write up how the Chiefs don't, and I'm going with a negative instead of the positive there because everything was so positive against the Colts, what's the part that falls off the car?
I think if they lose the game, it's because New England runs the ball really well mm-hmm. and the Chiefs don't get pressure on Brady.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to sack them a ton. They do a lot of very quick throws to get rid of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Brady's smart. You know, if he sees pressure, he's not going to run, but he's going to chuck the ball and get rid of it.
Right.
He's not going to take a ton of hits. You know, he's like Manning was in that regard. Not quite as bad as Manning, but still, he's not going to sit in the pocket like Favre did. So
right.
You're not going to sack him six or seven times. That's not going to happen. The Chiefs do that. They're going to win by 40 points.
Right.
But I think the easy way to say the Chiefs lose is that Belichick comes up with something to slow the offense down just enough,
mm-hmm.
as he did in New England when they turned the ball over twice.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense just cannot stop the run as it struggled with in New England, and that they don't pressure Brady. To me, that is a worst-case scenario for the Chiefs.
It's funny because they didn't sack Andrew Luck that much either. Like, three sacks, I would take three right now against Brady if you gave me that, especially with a strip sack in there. I'd sign up for that.
Sure.
But they were affecting Andrew Luck all day. Like, it ended up being legitimately half of his dropbacks. The Chiefs did something to Andrew Luck, be it a batted pass or a hit or a hurry, whatever. The thing for me that, weirdly, I'm kind of just in on, Chris Jones, D4, Justin Houston, that trio, and Bob Sutton called a good game from a pressure standpoint last week especially. The secondary played well. The thing for me is that run defense. The Patriots have been so good on the ground this year, and the short passing game that's basically an extension of the run game with James White out of the backfield and all of that. If that's priority one as far as the thing you're most concerned about, which it is for me, you can tell me if that is for you or not. It is for me. What's the counter to that?
I agree. Look, I think the thing with the pass is you got to choke off the run, at least to some degree, and you can't let them kill you with short passes, whether it be to White or it be to Edelman. You have to try to take that away. Now, I thought the Chiefs did a really good job. I was actually watching the coach's film last night of the game, and one of the things I noticed was early in the game, especially Indianapolis had six offensive linemen on the field a lot. And the Chiefs countered that by saying, fine, we're going to put two nose tackles on the field right next to each other. They put Nadia Williams out there.
Interesting.
They had Jones on the field. They gave him a lot of bare front looks. They gave him a lot of heavy boxes. And they basically told the Colts, go ahead and throw the ball. We don't care.
Right.
Try to throw it. And they couldn't. And so it sounds crazy to say this about Tom Brady. If I were the Chiefs, I would saturate the box. I would single up the corners and say, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it.
100%.
Throw the ball to Chris Hogan. Throw the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson and Philip Dorsett. I don't care. And the key to the game for me, look, the Chiefs, Fuller's got to be able to slow down Edelman.
Yep.
If he does it, I think they can make Brady hold the ball a little bit. I think they can get home. But to me, that's the key. Because I don't. If Hogan and Patterson and Dorsett beat the Chiefs all day long, well, then the Chiefs deserve to lose.
Sure.
But I think, really, look, Edelman's the big guy, along with White. They've got to find a way to take those guys out of the game or at least limit their effectiveness.
I was saying something very similar just earlier tonight, talking about how as Tom Brady doesn't really age, he's aged a little bit on the downfield passing game. It's something that's impossible to keep as you get older. All of that short stuff, the intermediate stuff, he'll do until he's 60. But beating you downfield, especially without having a reliable downfield pass catcher with Philip Dorsett being your go-to guy, that's the weakest part of this offense. So I'm totally with you on that front. I fill in the box makes sense. All of that checks out. The thing that specifically I hadn't thought of at all is, man, this is the game that Kendall Fuller is built for. Like, if you believed in what you saw of him in Washington and everything you've heard about him from Brett Veach and some of the good you've seen from him in Kansas City, Kendall Fuller being asked to shut down Julian Edelman in this game is it's exactly what he's here for.
I don't think there's any question. To me, it's the matchup for the game. The Chiefs need to win that matchup. If they win that matchup, they're going to the Super Bowl. I firmly believe that. If Kendall Fuller can outplay Julian Edelman, the Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl. I think the Pats are so reliant on him. And look, I think you want to shut down White. Don't get me wrong. You can't let the guy go for 15 catches like the Chargers did. The Chargers, right. I don't want to pile on to Gus Bradley. That game plan was just absurd.
Yes.
I don't know. Watching that game was just stunning. I can't believe how the Chargers played that. If anything, it's great for the Chiefs because it gives you a blueprint of exactly what not to do. But look, I think Fuller's got to win. And if Berry does play, and I know people are probably rolling their eyes saying, I don't know if he's going to play or not, although them releasing Ron Parker at least raises an eyebrow.
It does.
But if he plays, I would just put him on Gronkowski and say, go ahead, one-on-one, the whole game.
Yeah.
Go nuts. Because Gronk is a shell of who he was.
Yep.
Look, I think if you're the Chiefs, it sounds counterintuitive because you think of Brady and you think of his big passing offense. They are not that anymore.
Yep.
I would just load up 10 yards in and say, go ahead. You want to throw a go route 40 yards down the field to Chris Hogan? You go right. And if he hits one of them in a game, who cares?
Yep.
You just can't let them do death by a thousand paper cuts. You cannot allow that. If they get a big strike once in the game, you're fine. You have an offense that's going to go down and take it back anyway. But you can't let them sit on the field for 37 minutes like you did up in Foxborough.
I 100% agree with that because also, again, I mean, you touched on it, but like you can trade a couple 40-yard bombs. Like Brady to Chris Hogan is not, I know this is going to sound crazy, is not even close to Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. Like the likelihood that the Chiefs hit those in response is so much higher than the Patriots hitting it at all. So now I'm going to ask you to play Belichick here. They threw a couple things at Mahomes and made him struggle in the first half again in Foxborough. You look at this offense now. With Sammy Watkins out there with its full array of weapons, I mean, I guess no Kareem Hunt, but Damian Williams has been very good recently. If you're the Patriots, what are you trying to make the Chiefs do, or what do you try to take away?
Well, in the past, in the recent past, Belichick has tried to take Kelce out of the game, and he's tried to do that the last two times they've seen each other.
Mm-hmm.
They took Hill away for a half last time, and then Hill went berserk and had three touchdowns. If I'm New England, like I am playing a lot of cover three. I'm also mixing in a lot of man because the Chiefs have beaten cover three. The reason I say that though is the Chiefs have had the ability in recent games against New England to light them up on deep balls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're the Pats, you've got to at least try to limit that. But look, I think ultimately they're gonna have to play some man. Their strength is their secondary. And Gilmore has been very good this season. I think they're going to have to man up. They're going to have to try to double Hill occasionally with a safety over the top, maybe bracket Kelce occasionally. But look, to me, to be very honest, I think the Patriots are going to have to score 35-plus to win the game.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're going to stop the Chiefs. And I have all the respect in the world for Belichick. I think he's a great, great coach, the greatest I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you just have to have the horses. And New England's just not equipped to stop them. Unless New England gets the pass rush that they have not shown all year, I think Mahomes is going to go berserk in this game. I don't know how New England stops him. Belichick has forgotten more football than I'll ever know.
Right.
But I think it's a very, very tough matchup for that defense.
So this is the thing, is that you were saying that I was like sort of building like all the here's all the reasons they're not going to be able to do that, because if they do, then the Chiefs will – that's the answer to literally everything. Like, you could have said, well, what they're going to do is they're going to play with 14 players, and three of them are going to be literal robots, killing machines. Like, well, I don't know, Matt. Like, they're still probably going to be able to go over the top of the hill. Like, I don't know if that robot's going to be as fast as Tyreek Hill is. That, because there's not an actual answer to any of those things. I don't know. What do you, there's no stopping everything.
No, there's not. One thing that would be interesting, and Kevin Clark, I believe, wrote this at The Ringer, and I thought about this, and when I read what he had to say, I thought even more so that it might be the way they go. If people will remember, back in 2003, and they played the AFC title game, they played at home against the Colts, and the Colts were, you know, a very high-powered attack. Of course, that was the game after the no-punt game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pats were so physical with Reggie Wayne and Harrison at the line of scrimmage that they changed the rules that offseason. Because the Pats basically just said, look, just mug them to death at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Just mug them.
Mm-hmm.
And force the officials to call everything. I wonder if they're going to do the same thing in this game. Not quite to that extent, because the rules are just a little different. And Reed is so creative with motion, it's harder to do that.
Yeah.
But I wonder if Belichick just says, look, the heck with it. We're gonna mug guys at the line of scrimmage. If they want to call penalties 20 times in this game, then we'll live and die with that. I don't think it's quite as easy again because Reed does such a good job of guys coming in motion and guys always getting a good release. But look, I don't know if you're doing it. I think look, if you go back and check all the games that the Chiefs played this year, the only time this offense has even been remotely slowed down is when teams have gotten pressure on Mahomes.
Yeah.
New England is not a pass rusher. I mean, Trey Flowers is a very good player, but he's not a quintessential pass rusher. So I don't know, you know, if you blitz, then it's man behind that. And if you don't get home, forget it. So it's a tough chore. It really is.
And it's funny, the just absolutely rattling the guys at the line. I think of Kelce and Sammy Watkins as both being guys that can handle that. And Tyreek Hill, it seems like he's always daring people. That was one of the things with Jalen Ramsey that Jags week. I feel like he's literally almost daring opposing corners to do that because rattling Tyreek Hill at the line of scrimmage is really hard because he'll go around you. Like, the touchdown that went for 50 and 5,000 for Mahomes, or DeMarcus Robinson beat the guy off the line of scrimmage so much that after the game, that was not his designed route. He just went upfield after that. If that physicality does happen from the Patriots secondary, I imagine the Chiefs are going to be very aware of how well that worked against Oakland, where if you beat a guy off the line really bad, just go straight and Mahomes will hit you.
Yeah, well, I can't remember. It might have been even a training camp. Somebody asked Andy Reid about, well, if you were a defense against you, would you press Tyreek Hill? And he actually started laughing and said, I hope so. Because, look, and by the way, I think the Chiefs should play a ton of press in this game.
I was going to say the same thing.
The Pats are such a rhythm offense.
Yes.
I would try to take them out of it. And because they don't have the deep threat that the Chiefs do. The Chiefs have two guys. If they get down the field, they're gone.
Yep.
Like, the Pats have nobody like that. I mean, Patterson is fast, but he's not a great receiver. So I would challenge them all day if the line is fixed. But if you're the Pats, let's just use him as an example. If Stephon Gilmore climbs up in a bump and run with Hill, and he misses him, he's gone.
Yes.
It's a touchdown.
It's over.
Touchdown. It's a walking touchdown. So that's the risk you run with a guy like Hill, and that's why you always see – you know, he'll get a lot of easy 8 to 10 yard receptions. It's because guys just play off of him. They're terrified of him.
Yep.
So I think the Chiefs are the better team in this game.
Agreed.
I think if the Chiefs don't beat themselves, they're going to win. I don't think New England has the defensive horsepower to stop them. But the looming question is Belichick.
Yep.
Because he, you can make a very good case he's the greatest defensive coach of all time.
Mm-hmm. I think he's probably the front runner on that front. You're right. And the thing that for me sort of eases my concern on that front is that he got Mahomes for a couple of drives, and the Chiefs ended up scoring 40 in Foxborough still. Like, they got Mahomes twice, and that offense by the end was looking just like it was a Swiss watch. That matchup between Belichick and Andy Reid, I'm thrilled for.
I think the best thing that happened to the Chiefs this year was that they played the Pats.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Because Mahomes saw it. Mahomes, no, Belichick's going to come up with some different stuff. There's no question. But what happened in that game, and you just mentioned it, the first half of that game, you could make an argument. Mahomes in the first half of the game is the worst half of football he played all year long.
Yep.
And then they figured it out, and he went berserk in the second half with 31 points. It took everything New England had. I mean, people forget, look, New England didn't have anybody missing from that game for injury. Mm-hmm. They had Josh Gordon. Mm-hmm. They were at home. They had an extra 4 days to prepare because they played the prior Thursday. They did not take a penalty. They did not punt. And they won on a game-winning field goal in the final second. And they won the turnover battle.
Yep.
I mean, they played perfect.
Yep.
The Chiefs played a pretty average game in a horrible first half and scored 40 points.
Yep.
So, look, you know what? Look, the Chiefs, I think, even though they lost, probably look at that game and feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
Probably say, hey, all right, we know what they're going to do. Mahomes has seen it. We know how we can play. We showed it in the second half. We dominated the second half of that game. It's going to be very interesting. And then, of course, you add into the fact that the game is basically going to be played in Antarctica. it's going to be a fascinating game.
This is definitely, you know, count some chickens before they've hatched and everything. But what do you make of the NFC game? It's happened before, so we got to develop a rooting interest ahead of time. A team the Chiefs have seen again in the Rams or the Saints with the MVP second place finisher in Drew Brees. Who should, like, Chiefs fans be rooting for?
You know, look, they're both great teams.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to pick, I think the Chiefs would rather see the Rams.
Yeah.
I think Brees is better than Goff. And the Saints' defense has actually played really well the last 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying I don't think the Chiefs would score some points against them because the Chiefs score against everybody.
Yeah.
But New Orleans has played better. And, look, I also think, to some degree, as good as the Rams' offense is, as great as it is, they don't have Michael Thomas.
Yep.
Like, Michael Thomas would be a nightmare for the Chiefs. Now, they do have, certainly, they, you know, the Rams have Gurley. But the Saints have Kamara and Ingram.
Yep.
Like, it's not like they're chopped liver over there. So, look, I think the Chiefs, again, that's another example. The Chiefs had 5 turnovers against the Rams, gave up 2 defensive touchdowns, and they lost by 3 and scored 51 points on the road.
Yes, it's insane. Like
if the Chiefs just play the – let's put it this way. I think there's a scenario where the Chiefs could play their best game against the Saints and lose. I think if the Chiefs play their best game against the Rams, they're going to win.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's the amazing thing that – and we'll probably get some mileage out of this through the off season or something whenever that eventually hits, if it's in a few days or in a few weeks. The Chiefs all year, they played their average games and either beat bad teams or barely lost to good teams, and they never once had one of those games where you go, oh God, they lost to the Lions. Like the Patriots did that this year early. Like, there's none of that in this entire Chiefs schedule, and it's really encouraging because Andy Reid teams seem to always have that. You realize that maybe you should stop calling them Andy Reid teams and start calling them Alex Smith teams. I don't know, but, like, that always happens, and the Chiefs didn't have that at any point this year. Now you beat the good teams, you hang with the good teams, you win the home playoff game. Like, I am 100% on team. You should have confidence at this point.
Listen. I think the reason they didn't have a game like that this year is who's playing quarterback.
Yep.
100%. When you have that quarterback, I mean, let's be honest. You went through and looked at all his games. What was the worst game he played? What was the worst game he played? I mean, maybe Jacksonville.
I was going to say maybe Jacksonville. Yeah,
right. So to me, he's almost, I don't want to say slump-proof, but you would have to really muck it up around him.
Yeah.
To lose by 20 points to the Raiders.
Right.
Like, he's too good.
Yeah.
I think, again, this is going to be a tough game. It's going to be played in brutal conditions. But I think the Chiefs are the better team. I think the Chiefs are the better quarterback. I think the Chiefs have a far better pass rush. And in the playoffs, that matters to the umpteenth degree.
Yep.
Because as it showed in Indianapolis, one play can change the whole game.
Yep.
I will say, there's narrative that's starting to come out that, well, it's cold out, so I don't think it's going to be that loud at Arrowhead. I don't believe that for a second.
No, yes, there's no way.
I think Chiefs fans will take the frostbite to make sure that they're loud. This game, Chiefs fans have been waiting for this game since the Lyndon Johnson administration. So I think people would be loud enough. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the game. I really think the Chiefs, destiny's in their hands. If the Chiefs play their best game, regardless of what New England does, the Chiefs will win.
You sound like the most confident, unconfident person on planet Earth. Every single thing, even the most important things, all say the Chiefs are winning. You said if the Chiefs don't beat themselves, they're going to win. But you don't sound like you're completely ready to say that the Chiefs won't beat themselves, even though they haven't yet this year. What's your best guess?
Well, listen, I took a lot of heat because I picked the Colts last weekend, and I said, I think the Chiefs are the better team,
mm-hmm.
and they should win.
Mm-hmm.
But until they show me they can win in these spots,
yeah.
I just can't do it because I've picked them every other year.
Right.
I've covered the sport. I've picked them in every game. I've looked like a dope because they go out and they lose.
Right.
So, of course, now I look like a dope again, but I'm happy to look like a dope.
That's good. Yes, yeah, so, like a dope.
I think they will win. I think they will win this game. I also said on the Sack in the Box podcast a week ago that, look, I thought the first game was the toughest because of the anxiety that came with it. And I know the players don't care, but the fans packing that stadium, there's going to be that energy. There's going to be that nervousness. There is going to be nothing but pure excitement for this game. I think that matters. I think the Chiefs now, that narrative is behind them. Mahomes now isn't playing in his first playoff game. Now they've been there. They've done it. They've got confidence. And the defense has a ton of confidence after the way they've played the last two games.
Yeah.
So, look, again, I'm actually very confident in the game. I do think, like in any playoff game, the Chiefs are going to have to make sure they're on their P's and Q's. They can't mm-hmm. turn the ball over. They can't take dumb penalties.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't do those things, I think they're going to win. And to be very honest with you, I think they're going to win handily.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs are going to win by multiple scores in this game. I do not think it's going to be a nail-biter. I think the Chiefs are better. I think it's going to show up. Andy Reid has typically scored a lot of points on Belichick-led teams. I think the Chiefs are going to get in the 40s, and I don't think New England's going to get to 30.
I love it. I love it so much. Thanks, Matt. I was going to talk to you. I'll plug all your stuff, but you can go. You've said the sound bites that will either introduce you as a god next week or as a dope. But if it's a dope, we'll both sound like dopes together.
That's okay. Listen, I've been a dope my whole life.
Thanks, Matt. I'll talk to you again soon.
No problem, Josh.
Matt Verderam of FanSided. You can read all of his work there. Of course, listen to the Stacking the Box podcast. You heard him talk a little bit about some of the national-facing elements of the NFL postseason. He's talking about all of those on the Stacking the Box podcast, writing about all of that on FanSided. So you can go check him out in all of those places. He's excellent to talk to about all these things. And he is, believe it or not, a little bit confident about the Chiefs and Chiefs-Patriots. So am I. Whenever we come back, I'll follow up on the thing I started talking about an hour ago. We talked about it a little bit there with Matt. What the Chiefs are doing, should be, will be doing against the Patriots defensively this week. We'll talk about that next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Hey, Beards, it's John Skipper. Listen, I've been hearing that show you've been doing. Wasn't super into whenever your host boy read 538 for 5 minutes. But that hiccup Fetty just had, here's what we're going to do. We're going to mail you a blank checkbook. You get as many people on the payroll as you need to, and you tell me what their salaries are going to be. And you know what I will say? I, John Skipper, head of ESPN, Grand Poobah, you tell me to jump, and I will ask you how high.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
By the way, Eric Berry was a full participant in practice today. Spencer Ware and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif were both limited in practice today. Eric Berry, a full participant. Said last night, I've been expecting that Eric Berry will play. I still believe it. In fact, I know it. I know it in my, not from any report, that would be silly. I know it in my soul. I know Eric Berry is going to be playing. I guarantee it, because not only do I know it to be true, I've never been wrong about this before. Not even as recently as last week was I some amount of confident that he was going to be playing, and then was subsequently proven wrong, even as his number was listed as a team captain on the whiteboard in the Chiefs locker room. No, I have never had that happen last week.
Against the Colts?
In the playoffs.
At home?
Literally just a few days ago.
Never happened.
Never, ever did I tweet that I wanted to be the one person who was going to die on that hill. I did die, by the way.
Why are you still here, then?
My spirit is here. Broken, disheveled, barely alive.
That explains why the fan's not under there, because otherwise it would just blow you away.
That's true. I actually had to climb up before the show. I taped trash bags over all of the vents in here. So I need to make sure it's completely still so my essence isn't blown out with the wind. It's my favorite old movie, Blown Out with the Wind. Rosebud.
I hate you right now.
How's your fan, Beards? Sounding voluptuous. Oh, thank you. That's enough.
It's great.
I love Casablanca.
It's fine.
No, it's fun. It's a solid flick.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler's playing a vampire. It's all those animated characters. It's fun. Hotel Casablanca. Did you see the second one? There's a third one coming out.
Do we want to have the discussion we were having before the show today?
Beards, how are you doing good? How's it going? How's it going over there on that side of the glass? Talk about Hotel Casablanca. Did you not see Hotel Casablanca? Beards, come on. Don't play the defense against the show. Did you not see Hotel Casablanca?
No, I didn't.
I saw the first one. I've never seen The Godfather.
I know.
But I have seen both Hotel Transylvania and Frankenweenie. And Paranorman. All of those spooky animated movies I have seen.
You've just cornered the market on animated Halloween movies?
Uh-huh. But I've not seen The Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's fine.
Which everybody says is great.
It's fine. I've only seen it like twice.
I've only ever heard that it's wonderful and perfect. I've never heard anything less than that from anyone, including Beards just now.
It's okay.
Do Tom Brady and Bill O'Brien have the same chin? Or did, like, Brady get his, like, altered? Because right now there's some old B-roll of Tom Brady, and he's got a little Bill O'Brien butt chin situation. Was Tom Brady's chin surgically altered to remove? Did he get Botox in his chin cave? Or did I just never really notice it?
All right, I'm doing something I've never done before.
Tom Brady chin.
You beat me to it.
His is lower, so it's not as pronounced.
He's got a little dimple.
He's also gone with a scruff for a good part of recent years.
Covers it up.
Yeah. I was sort of hoping we'd find out that he had it surgically reduced.
Now, Bill O'Brien's got a hole poked in his chin.
No, Bill O'Brien looks like he got hit with a BB gun. I guess just a BB at, like, age 8. Anyway, how the Chiefs beat the Patriots?
Hold Bill O'Brien fat heads of his chin in the stands.
So, actually, I was going back to the Eric Berry thing, because that's a huge part. I'm also on Sports Night tonight as well. Beards will be there also. We have Sports Night tonight again. So, we'll be going through a bunch of Eric Berry-related stuff again, because I think you can even ask the question of, like, what's his impact? Not does it matter. It definitely does. Or not is the defense better with Eric Berry than without him? It definitely is. None of these are super hot takes. But I do. I mean, they just played their best game of the year without him. Like, that's something. That's not nothing. Even as they're better with him, certainly. On the thing that we touched on there with Verderam originally last night, obviously, and that I wanted to talk about some today,
is how the Chiefs deal with the specifics of the Patriots offense, because that, like, Tom Brady can't play backyard football anymore unless he's doing it on the PC. Love those games. Unless Pablo Sanchez is there, Tom Brady is not playing backyard football anymore. So the solution is everything is short, everything is quick, everything is like intricately designed. Where it's James White out of the backfield, it's all this short stuff to Edelman and Gronk and all of that, right? Everything is scientific in its precision. Because Brady, for however you want to splice it up, Brady has all of that precision still at his disposal. He is still very much that guy. So you have to take that away from him. You have to take that precision that is built into this offense away from the Patriots. And if you do that, they are going to really genuinely struggle. So how do you do that? The good news here is that the Chiefs, I think, the way they do this is the thing that they do best already. It's the physical man coverage jostling around of opponents that Bob Sutton already likes his defensive backs to do. It's letting Fuller, Nelson, and Ward be in the face of all of these guys and try to knock them off of their route on any level. It's probably more man than zone. I feel like in a zone defense, the Patriots are going to find the soft spots there and just dissect you. So don't let that happen. You cannot be passive whenever it comes to the Patriots offense. You cannot play the, oh yeah, we'll give you the short stuff game. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can say, you know what, we'll give you the short stuff. We're going to try to reduce everything that you do beyond that. We're going to try to play that game perfectly and see what happens. That's not an option for the Chiefs against the Patriots. Because that short stuff will kill you. It'll be like running the ball for 400 yards. If they run the ball for 100 yards and they pass for 300, but the average air yards per attempt there are something in the fours, maybe less, honestly, they might as well have just run the ball on you for 400 yards and you're going to lose. Because the offense will just chip all the way along, and then at the end you'll realize, oh, the game's over and we have less points than they do. How did this happen? Where did we go wrong? So you cannot lose that way. You cannot let them come to you. You have to devote all of your resources to making Julian Edelman miserable. I don't think Philip Dorsett is going to win this game. And honestly, let these guys, you've held on with these corners. Let these corners run with Philip Dorsett downfield and see what happens. If they're not getting miserably burnt, I think Brady's going to have a really hard time finding that window terribly far downfield. We've seen that from him most of the year, at least on the road. Whatever reason that is. You heard Matt bring up the DVOA of the Patriots defense on the road. It goes from second to 30th or something insane. You cannot be passive. You have to be aggressive. You have to challenge Gronk and Edelman and James White above all others and make their lives miserable. If you knock them around and they get open and then Brady still finds them, so be it. But you can't let the Patriots just win like clockwork, advance the ball like clockwork. You can't afford to play that way. And if anything downfield has to happen, then your pass rush has a chance to get home. I think the Patriots intend on trying to neutralize the Chiefs' pass rush. Similarly to how I think the Chiefs are going to try to neutralize their rhythm, they're going to try to do it by doing the thing they do best and the thing they've been doing all year. It's really hard to get to the quarterback before he throws a 2-yard pass to the running back. You're not going to get to Brady in those situations. So you have to make those 2-yard passes actually go for 2 yards. So now it's 4th and 6. They've done it twice. It's 4th and 6. Or they knocked one out and one went for 4. Well, now they have to throw to the sticks. So now your pass rusher knows it has a chance to actually go get to Tom Brady. That's what this ultimately comes down to in my mind. I also just realized that I didn't see anything about Dorian O'Daniel, because I think he in this defense creates a lot of very interesting problems for the Patriots. But I just realized that the tweets I had seen had Barry as a full participant and the other guy is limited. So I'm guessing he didn't practice today. I'll look it up, though. I'll look it up during the break. Whenever we come back, I'm going to have news for you. News that you may already know about, but I'm going to know about it whenever we come back. And that's a professional radio tease.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Wouldn't it be really nice if one of these guys back here, one of your minions, went and made you a plate?
It would be. I don't. First of all, one, don't trust them. Two, they wouldn't do it for me even if I did trust them.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Beers played that liner because he knew I was hungry.
I'm hungry too, so...
I like doing sports night a lot. I'm never upset about sports night, except for whenever it means that I don't have time to drive the Slim Chickens and get back in time.
Yeah,
I get it would be close, but I want to. I did that once.
Depends on how long the to-go line is.
Yeah, I did that once, and I got back, and I was eating chicken strips while Jeff Long was doing a press conference. That's what that was. I say pretty frequently, I don't have a great memory, right? My best memories are Slim Chickens based.
Hey, Slim Chickens.
Oh, I mean, man.
Sponsor.
I know that, like, no one at Slim's, like, listens to this show, because at this point, I think they would have acknowledged us out of pure fear of what we would do if they didn't. Man, if Charlie hadn't died of the bubonic plague, I would be so on him to go get us a chicken sponsor. And Slim's is, you know, until money proves otherwise, is my favorite. But like, I'm thinking about, I was gonna say that all of it's good, but the last few times I've been to Raising Cane's, it's been really good.
Yeah,
there's a KFC across the street. I've never been to KFC like 6 times in 2 weeks or something, but I think that after this show or in about what do you say, Beard? 7 minutes? And you know, 7 minutes, that streak may continue.
It's fine with me.
I'm just so hungry. The point of it was that, by the way, Dorian O'Daniel did not practice today. So don't expect him back. The thing that I was thinking about is that, so I went to Costco. I'm now using this. That's the beginning of 3 separate stories now. The one thing food-wise that I bought was a huge box of these little, like, chicken, like frozen chicken pita, like little sandwich things. They're very tasty. I would argue most freezer food isn't. They're really good, and they're not like the least healthy thing that comes out of a freezer. So I got a giant box of those. They're really good, but I am convinced that I could eat like 50 of them. Which seems physically impossible. I eat 10 of them, which seems physically impossible, and still not actually be full afterwards. I feel like if you're eating, like, a frozen meal is never going to be sufficiently satisfying. I just feel like I'm always going to be left hanging on that front. Beards, what if you do the first hour of sports night tonight? I'll do the second and third.
I'll just replay the first hour of the show. It would be good.
During the first hour of this show, I'm pretty sure I multiple times referenced being on Sports Night last night. Which I guess actually that would still be fine. Listen, this is some pretty next level bleep you've brought up here. Maybe the plan is that I run the board myself for the first hour, but I want to be able to eat. That still doesn't help me eat. All right, here's another option. Okay, just 1 to 10. Tell me how you're feeling about this. We have one of the rooms in here totally gutted, and then we hire. We sort of franchise our own Slim Chickens.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm down.
That just is in the building.
Oh, I'm down. I'm totally down.
One of these little side offices.
We get rid of the program office downstairs. That's just...
Yeah, that's true. No, yeah. Sarin, we have no problem with that. No. Sarin, sorry, we're commandeering your office to make a Slim Chickens. I don't know, man. You could tell me you were commandeering my family to make a Slim Chickens. I'd be like, okay.
Speaking of your family, your mom has commented, we're eating Slim Chickens right now. Chloe will share. Wait too late. She already ate all the chicken. How about fries?
My family isn't Slim Chickens without me. Are we even family anymore?
I don't know.
If you go to Slim Chickens without your family, are you still family? I'd say put on the poll and tag them, but... Well, there was one point where they said they were going to send us coupons. They never did. The problem now being fixated on Slim Chickens is that...
Now you want Slims?
Anything else is going to be sort of a disappointment. Other than maybe Cane's, which does sound extremely good. I just don't want to have to drive there and then back and then just like eat it in the studio in 30 seconds, you know? I'm literally like right now looking, and could I wait 2 minutes until the show's over to do this? Yeah, but I'm working against the clock here, man.
We're already on this path. Oh, also.
Talking about me being hungry is quintessential this show, so I'm good with that.
I went to a new place for lunch today. We have to revisit a topic we've discussed before, which is our French fry ranking.
Yes. Where did you go?
I went to a new burger place. Do I want to give the name of it? Because it was kind of okay.
It's fine.
I went to Lark Burger.
Yeah.
I wanted a burger for lunch, and I just Googled burgers near me, and I hadn't been there, and it looked good. So
sure.
I went. Burger was fine. Burger was pretty good. The fries, however, they were the little shoestring, super thin, super floppy fries. Get out of here with that. That's nasty.
No. Interesting.
Get out of here.
You're throwing those to the bottom of your list.
Oh, get out of here.
Okay. I thought for sure.
I need crunch in my fries.
Oh, they weren't crunchy shoestring fries?
No, they're just little floppy things that you like pick them up and they just kind of go bloop. They just drip down.
Flaccid fries.
They're useless.
You don't, Beards does not like a flaccid fry.
Get out of here.
Say that sentence out loud.
I, Beers McFly, do not like my fries flaccid.
I need you to say the way that I said it because then it's going to be a limerick. I, Beers McFly, do not like a flaccid fry. Go ahead.
I, Beers McFly, do not like a flaccid fry.
And mark it. If it's going to be a flaccid fry, it needs to be potato-y. Just be lying to me like that it's mashed potatoes. But if that's like a steak fry,
sure,
like a steak fry is basically just saying, hi, I'm a mashed potato stick. Are you happy? And I'll say, not really, but it's fine. Did you eat like a fistful of the shoestring fries to get that feel from it?
I ate about half of them.
But like, did you ever try to just like scrunching like five of them together?
I was trying to kind of like pick and choose the crunchier ones, and it wasn't working that well.
I gotta tell you, this might actually be like, I know that you did not leave a glowing review here, but I kind of want to go.
The burger was pretty decent.
I kind of want to go try this place now. Just
it's
to
nearby.
Know.
It's in Corbin Park.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's super close.
I'm not gonna go. I'm gonna go get chicken. That's 100% gonna happen. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.